BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here is Thursday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. Carly Rae Jepsen joins us after her live launch to play Real or No Real. One of our listeners is using way too much Radio 1 language, and the moment has arrived. Innuendo Bingo with Anne, the governess, Hegarty from ITV's The Chase. It is an epic one. I always tell you to watch the video, but seriously, watch the video. It's on the Radio 1 YouTube channel. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1. What a load of hype there is today on text and Twitter and Facebook about this Innuendo Bingo.
It's one of our biggest, I'd say.
Jamie in Derby says, OM actual G, I cannot wait for the governess. My application to go on the ITV show The Chase has just been accepted, so please can you tell her, hopefully I'll be seeing her soon. Yeah, but you don't know what chase you're going to get until the day of the show.
I don't think we've had as much hype as this since possibly Gerald Butler or Will Ferrell.
So if you don't watch The Chase, there's a lady called the governess. Her name's Anne Hegarty, but they call her the governess on the show. Quite intimidating. And she actually is one of the number one quizzers in the world. She knows absolutely everything about general
knowledge.
She's
Quizzy Rascal.
Oh my God, she is ultimate.
She's Quiz Tina Aguilera.
Yeah, ultimate. She's Quiz Akabusi.
She's Quiz Stark.
She is. I believe that she's like number 45 in the whole world at general knowledge quizzes.
That's brilliant.
And that's why you don't want to get her when you go on The Chase, because you'll probably lose.
If you walk into the pub and she's there ready to do the quiz, walk back out. No point.
Yeah, there's no point even staying for that pub quiz, because she is going to whoop you. And today she's playing Innuendo Bingo. Do you feel that you're in a position of power for a change?
Not dressed how I am, no, Mills.
No, okay, so I've had a nightmare with this outfit. Anne can't wear the outfit, okay? She can't wear the chaser outfit. So I've decided that I would dress you as the governess today. Just put a grey blazer on it. The blouse which I ordered from China has gone missing, so that's an issue. So this morning at 9 o'clock, do you see my Instagram? I was in a £5 dress shop trying to find you a blouse.
I don't think I look anything like her. You've just put a load of stuff in my hair,
yes,
which was one of the most painful experiences I've had in a while. Why are you so rough?
I've used a lot of hair wax to try and recreate the look of the governess's hair, and also a biro to twirl it with, and it is staying where it is at the moment.
I'm wearing a blouse, a skirt, a jacket.
Oh, a skirt as well, yeah.
Someone's just said about makeup as well. I mean, it's all getting a bit ridiculous.
I feel like a
pig in a wig. No, that's nothing against the
pigs. So we'll be doing this at 1:45, and you can watch it on the Radio 1 website. Why couldn't I? I bought that blouse especially off the internet.
Yeah, I know.
And I can't find it in my house because I've got decorators in at the moment. Well, that's one.
This blouse will do, I think. I mean, I wouldn't stress about. What do you mean? So you got the decorators? So what are you blaming the decorators for?
No, everything's got dust sheets on it, so I can't find it.
Under the dust sheets,
yeah,
is
and
the
then
blouse.
Next week, when all the decorating's done, I'll find the blouse from China that I needed for last week. What use is it to me then?
The life of Mills. There.
I was 9 o'clock this morning. I was in the shop showing the man pictures of the governess, going, "Have you got anything a bit like that? That shirt there?" And he's like, "Who's it for, man or lady?" I was like, "Man." So I've had a stressful morning, but I think it looks fine. I think it's fine.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, I've just put a picture on my Insta. Chris, you're looking so like Anne Hegarty right now.
I like the game with it. Is it me or Anne Hegarty?
Yeah, hard to tell, isn't it? I'm really impressed with the hair, actually, now. It's good. I've just applied a little tiny bit of lippy. It's real making the difference. You can watch this at 1:45 on the Radio 1 website. I'm so excited. So many people are, like, really excited about
the
this
governess
today.
Frosty Knickers herself.
Frosty Knickers is on bingo in, like, 20 minutes.
It's actually insane.
It is insane. This is one of our best bookings. You know that she knows everything as well. Like, don't ever try and out-quiz her, because you
Standard.
Won't be able to. If you've got any questions for Anne, like, what should I have for my tea tonight?
Yeah, because she gets everything right.
Yeah, she will know the answer. So 81199, she will know it.
BBC Radio 1.
Daily.
I'm Scott Mills, and well, I can't believe that this day has finally arrived.
It's the best.
It is the best. Anne Hegarty is here to play Innuendo Bingo. Hello. Hello, Governess.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Yes.
This is happening. So I The various chasers are at different episodes of The Chase, so I can't say who I got, but I did actually film a celebrity episode of The Chase, and we met backstage, didn't we?
We did indeed, yes.
And, I mean, it's just great to see you again.
Thank you.
I was kind of terrified on that show. Because they're all scary, aren't they?
The idea is we are all supposed to be terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
When we first had this idea, I mean, this was an idea that we came up with, I think, on air, the idea of doing a Chase innuendo bingo. And now that it's actually happening, I mean, it's brilliant.
It is. I can't believe it. So I know that you have been doing, well, you've done a lot of the British version, but you've also just been doing the Australian version as well.
That's right. I was in Melbourne for most of July and August filming the Australian Chase with me and three Australian chasers.
But they chose you as the one from over here.
Apparently they did, yes. Bear in mind, Paul's busy with his stand-up.
The Beast.
The Beast is busy with the American show, yeah. And Sean's busy with his law career.
Right.
I'm available because I'm underemployed.
We were just saying, if you are in a pub and there's a quiz about to happen, do people just go in and go, oh, no, Anne Hegarty's here, we might as well just go? What's the point of doing this pub quiz if she's here?
Funny you should ask. On Tuesday night, I was actually in a big marquee beside the river at a charity quiz to raise money for Dimbleby Cancer Care. And I was part of a team called the Super Scots, because I do actually, my mother was from Glasgow, so I play for the Scotland national side. And absolutely nobody in the marquee recognised me. There were some fairly famous people. There were Dimblebys, there was Simon Callow, but they were all posh.
Right.
And I am a chav goddess. So nobody recognised me, and we won, and nobody could work out why we won.
Oh, that's so good.
Like a secret weapon.
Yeah.
I know.
Wow.
How did you get into it all? Like, obviously, you're very famous for being, what was it, ranked number 40 in the world?
I'm about number 40 in the world, somewhere like that. I think I came about 45th.
But how did you get to that stage? How were you discovered?
In early 2009, I discovered that there was a big quizzing circuit that you could take part in. I went along to my very first, what they call Grand Prix, and there they were auditioning.
Grand Prix?
I know, because you get like ranking points and so on. So it is, it's very much like Lewis Hamilton.
Was it in Monaco?
No, it was actually Liverpool, but right. It's not that far from Monaco. But I auditioned there. The BBC were auditioning for the second series of Are You an Egghead? So I auditioned for that and got on and came third. And it was all around the time that The Chase was doing its first pilot series. So I got tapped up for the second series.
Brilliant. And the rest is history.
Indeed.
You're still active on the quizzing circuit?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because you kind of have to keep, you have to keep doing it to be good enough. I mean, that's why I went to the thing on Tuesday night. I thought, I'm going to learn stuff. I'm going to get answers, ask questions that I didn't know, which I did.
When did you, obviously, is it a conscious thing that you've tried to remember a lot of knowledge, or is it just something that's always been easy to you?
Well, to a certain extent, I used to quite like memorising things when I was a child. I actually used to memorise great chunks of Shakespeare. And I remember memorising all the kings and queens of England from the Conquest with their dates.
Just for laughs?
Just simply because I was frustrated that I didn't know them all. And I thought, well, I need to know who all these people were and when they were.
Brilliant.
So I did that.
Love it. Okay, we're about to play Innuendo Bingo. Chris, are you ready? I'm sorry. I know that you're not allowed to wear the outfit, Anne, so I've tried to dress Chris as the governess, as the character.
Absolutely awesome.
It's good, isn't it?
I'm loving the sock. You should dress like that more often.
Yeah, the skirt is good. I mean, you can watch all this in a minute yourselves on the Radio 1 website. The blouse, that was an emergency blouse today, £5, but I think it's okay.
It's a very good blouse.
It's okay. Like I wanted the neck to have a bit more detail, but, what can you do?
It's quite jazzy, £5. The outfit. And then also, we've set up Innuendo Bingo like The Chase.
So he's slightly higher than you.
I'm going to be the role of you.
Oh, you get to spit right in my face. That's even better.
Oh, I can't believe this is happening.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Craig, on his tractor, says, how do I watch this on my phone? I can't miss this for the world. Well, just go to the Radio 1 website on your phone and you can just click watch. Watch live. It's happening right now. Also, Charlie in Hertfordshire says, I'm so excited to watch Innuendo Bingo live for the first time today. I believe in you, Chris. against the governess.
This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous because you're a lot higher than Anne there. And obviously she's used to being in that position normally. I've also tried to dress Chris as the governess. So he is, if you want to watch it, he is wearing a skirt.
It's very persuasive. Can you see the socks? Because I love the socks.
The socks are on, yeah.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I couldn't find any heels.
Also, I've just worked out that Anne's point of view is not particularly good, is it? It's only because of the height difference.
But
there.
I do get to spit water all over him.
That's true. Yes. Yeah, yes. I've even done Chris's hair. Like, I mean, obviously the governess is a character that you play. But yes. I've tried to do governess hair with the help of a biro.
I mean, I don't know what we're going to do if we get the beast on. I don't know how this is going to work. For that.
Like, yeah, he's going to kind of have to sit on the floor, I think.
Yeah, I think. Okay, so we're about to do this. You can watch it live now on the Radio 1 website. Frosty Knickers is on bingo.
It's time to witness the wetness. This is Innuendo Bingo.
Exciting times as Anne Hegarty, one of the chasers, the governess from ITV's The Chase, is about to... Stop trying to do the face, Chris. It doesn't work.
I can't do it right now.
Okay, here we go. So take some water in your mouths, please. Don't use your hands, Anne, that's the rules. If it's going to come out, make sure it comes out over him. No swearing, etc. Okay, right, here we go. Let us know if you're watching, please. This is potentially the best bingo ever. I'm eating a bagel in anticipation of it, says Russ in Bristol. Why not celebrate? Have a bagel. What are you doing? Chris, don't spit on the governess until the clips are on. Zeb in Norwich says, I can't believe you've got Frosty Knickers doing this. It is good, isn't it? So we're starting with the chase on ice. Chris, what's happening?
It's nuts.
It's quite mad. This is one of my faves already. We haven't even started playing yet. So we start with the chase on ITV. Water, please. Anne's already got it there. It's a maritime question, this one. But I think Bradley Walsh has... he's gone massively off script again.
Here's your next question. Well, when flown, what does the maritime signal flag Z Zulu mean? A, keep clear of me. B, I'm dragging my anchor. Or C, I require a tug.
And stony face there.
Oh. This is just ridiculous.
I require a tug.
Bradley Walsh there from ITV's The Chase. Remember, Anne, you can spit the water at any time over him.
This life is weird.
Now we're going over to BBC One's Match of the Day. Water, please, Chris. Now, Alan Shearer here, commentating on Chelsea's defence against Everton. It sounds like Ivanovic has really done himself proud here.
Ivanovic is pointing there. He doesn't know whether to go in tight or whether to tell one of his sitting midfielders, Matic or Mikel, to pull back and come on him.
Get him, man. So ladylike. At the moment, it's just Chris spitting on the governess.
You okay? Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's still got the water from the first one.
I know.
Thank you to Ryan for emailing that one.
Tell one of his sitting midfielders, Matic or Mikel, to pull back and come on him.
Yeah. So many decisions in football, aren't there? It's all happening over on Reigns of Power on BBC Four. Lucy Worsley is in the stables and she's done quite... done something... Come on. Yeah. That's it. Lucy's in the stables and has done something quite remarkable with her horse, Alonso. Sorry, Almonzo. Got the name of the horse wrong.
Oh, I can't do it.
Come on. So it's Lucy there and her horse, Almonzo.
That was very good.
Come on. Listen how pleased Lucy is with herself.
Fantastic. Well done, Almonzo. I'm slightly shaking now.
Like we said before, it's not something you're going to forget for a long time.
I lost my rearing virginity, and that's a wonderful climax to the day, really. Thank Thank you, Armando.
Yes, this is getting good now. Anne's giving it back.
Oh, no.
Lucy there, rearing a horse for the first time. Almonzo, he was up on his hind legs.
I lost my rearing virginity, and that's a wonderful climax to the day, really.
All right, thanks, Lucy. John in Everton spotted that. More water, please. Governess versus Chris. Now, come dine with me on Channel 4. Now, rarely a week goes by when this show isn't featured on Innuendo Bingo. These contestants are absolutely disgusted with the host on this episode, though. He's really let himself down.
I think Irina made a complete fuss over nothing.
She made a mountain out of a molehill because there was a skewer in a bloody chicken.
He should have double-checked his meat before he took it out. It was too much.
Well, the governess is very stony-faced.
I know.
Stony-faced.
Yes.
He should have double-checked his meat before he took it out. It was too much.
Oh, is he right the second sign there?
Got me on the second one.
Thank you, Alex and Ascot, for that one. Remember, if you've got any clips, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. If you spot anything on the TV or radio you think would be good for it, send it in. Back to the chase now. Water, please.
Just take my socks off.
Oh, lovely. And I think Bradley Walsh, once again, is ignoring the script.
Good luck. Here comes your first question. Which of these did Rick Astley say he would never do in the song Never Gonna Give You Up? A, hurt a fly. B, make you cry. C, eat your pie.
Oh. Oh, this is so good. Alex from Sheffield says, I'm in actual pain from laughing so much. The setup is hilarious. It is a good setup in here. Ricky from Bristol says, this is going straight in my basket as the best one ever. Bradley Walsh, what a one he is, isn't he?
Eat your pie.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave, for spotting that one. Water, please. Now, you know poet Imtiaz Darker? Imtiaz Darker, the poet?
Mm.
No, Anne? What, something you don't know? Ridiculous. Well, we found this on Tuesday. Now, Imtiaz has a very specific routine that she follows every single night, and she was talking about it on Radio 4.
Let's have your final piece then. Tell me about your eighth choice of the morning.
Well, I work late in the night, and wherever I am in the night, I come at 12:45.
She never misses the shipping forecast. It's part of her routine.
I come at 12:45.
So regular. More water, please. Quite weird, because I've never seen the governess smile on telly.
I know.
Quite weird.
I know.
I like it, though. Don't get me wrong. And finally... Actually, we've got two more. Archer's next on Radio 4, a radio soap opera about the goings-on in a small, quaint English village. Now, it is great living in the countryside, but sometimes... You know what Bill's like? He just gets a bit bored.
The thought of John living in a gypsy caravan. I can't imagine what you all made of him.
Where's Bill? He's not nibbling the clematis again.
Peggy?
He'll make himself sick. Oh.
That was straight in the face of the governess there. Chris, I think you'll probably pay for that at some point in your life.
He's not nibbling the clematis again.
Oh, Bill. Yeah. The governess has unique spraying action. I've never seen that before in such a way. On this game. And finally, a classic from Radio 2. Now, Simon Mayo, as we all know, is an incredibly experienced radio DJ, which kind of helps him, if anything, ask questions like this.
Where are the fireworks, John?
At the marina here.
Oh, OK.
Yeah.
So, and are you going with anyone special, or are you just going to go down on yourself?
Wow, I'm so sorry, Anne. Please forgive us.
That was amazing.
That was life goals. Wow. Are you okay, Anne?
I'm soaked.
Did you enjoy it?
I believe how
this
wet
is life goals, and squad goals.
It is. It's everything fun. Goals. Yes.
Chaser goals.
Frosty knickers becomes wet knickers. Thank you very much, Anne Hegarty. And that was just a brilliant, brilliant episode
that
of Indian Bingo. An honour indeed. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills.
Daily.
One. Hi, Charlotte on Twitter, who says, is that the first time that Chris has ever worn a skirt? Because he looked very comfortable in it. Can't be the first time, mate, can it?
I honestly don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I mean,
you'd remember.
I would say yes, but I think that would be lying. I'm sure I've had to at some point.
You must have. We all have at some point.
That's what I mean, if we're honest.
That was an incredible innuendo bingo today. It's getting such a good reaction. Thank you, Governess.
The Scott Mills Daily.
We've worked together a while now, Chris, and been friends for even longer, but I have to say that the picture of you doing the kind of...
Governess face.
The governess face in front of the governess, which is a screenshot from today's innuendo bingo, is possibly one of my favourite photos that we've ever had on this show.
Greg James is so excited about that innuendo bingo. He was absolutely buzzing from it.
Texting me throughout. So the governess from The Chase, one of the chasers, Anne Hegarty, was on innuendo bingo today. If you want to catch the video, we'll get it on Radio 1 YouTube for you later. It was quite something. Even if you don't watch The Chase, it was just a ridiculous situation. That was Jeremiah, Don't Tell Me. And before that, Sigma, and also Foles, and Lana Del Lol. Take a phone call. Hello, Radio 1.
Hello, Scott Mills. How's it going? It's Phil Taggart.
Hey, how are you?
Phil Taggart.
Yeah, it's not an imposter from a nighttime radio.
I love that you're calling in.
I haven't actually seen Phil for ages in person. I mean, I know that he's still on Radio 1 very much, but I've not seen you around the building. Where have you been?
I've just been scurrying around under the cloak of darkness as usual. I'd like to say this was like a personal call, but I've got your mobile number for that. This is more business.
I thought for a second that basically Scott's been screening your calls or something. So what you've taken to do is just ring into the radio show.
Yeah. The only way to get through to him is just by calling him on the radio.
Well, it was either that or I was going to like wait outside the building for you later on.
Okay, good. Do you know what? There's quite a lot of... I mean, Grimmy loves a shout out on Radio 1 and various Radio 1 employees recently have been like ringing up to try and get on. Stefan Powell, who reads the news, tried to get on to ask a question to Zac Efron recently.
Really?
It's like you work here. Don't do that.
Just use your pass and get in.
Exactly.
When he comes out. Don't
anyway, problem. What can I help you with today, Phil Taggart?
I've got a Freshers mixtape tonight at 9 o'clock, and I've got it kind of sorted because like all of the music that I'm going to be playing is like loads of new music. It's going to be a great way to sort of blag your way around like the first couple of weeks of being a fresher, because you know, like when you meet people, you make instant judgments on them on what music they like. So yeah. I'm going to be giving you the sort of like how to fake it in new music from 9 p.m. on the Freshers mixtape. But I really, really, really need your help because you and Chris are kind of like the double kings of student gigs. You guys go out and play them all the time, so you know exactly what people want to hear and at what time. And I want to end my show with a massive student banger, so I just kind of wanted to like throw it out to you and go, right, Scott, Chris, what do you got up your sleeve? What can you give me?
Okay, cool. So do you want people to get in touch or do you want us to tell you?
I would like people to get in touch as well. Hashtag Phil Taggart's mixtape. I'd really like to find out like at some point what you guys have got up your sleeve as well.
Okay.
You can tweet it to me if you want.
I can tweet it. I'm going to use the hashtag.
What's the hashtag,
it's
Scott?
It's hashtag Phil Taggart's mixtape.
I just love that you're calling in for this.
Why not? I would.
Shameless.
Exactly, I've got it in my diary. I'm going to phone Scott Mills at 1 o'clock, doorstop Greg James at 4:30, walk into Hugh Stevens' studio live on air and just start screaming Phil Taggart's mixtape until people start hashtagging it.
So what's the ultimate freshers banger? Let Phil know. You can use the hashtag Phil Taggart's mixtape. I mean, Call Me Maybe, surely got to be in there, but I can't see you playing that as the last song on your show tonight.
Well, you never know. Look, if it comes down to public consensus, I'm happy to toe the party line and what people are using the hashtag Phil Taggart's mixtape on.
There's another one I'm playing at the moment a lot, and I've not played it for a while. Oh, Blink-182, All the Small Things, still love it. Love it.
That's a banger.
It's a big one. Barbra Streisand always goes down well as well.
What? Ooh!
No, not actual Barbra Streisand, the end song.
Yeah, I mean, that would be weird. Okay, right, so hashtag Phil Taggart's mixtape. Tell him the ultimate freshers banger. Get involved. I listen tonight at 9 o'clock. I enjoyed that plug.
Yeah, it was good. Maybe we should make this like a daily thing. Like bi-daily. Yeah,
totally. I'm absolutely up for it.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, Radio 1.
Hi, Scott. It's Hazel.
Hey, Hazel.
Yeah, how are you?
All right. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
What's going on?
Basically, I had a bit of a weird encounter with someone. I was at university, kind of just chilling in the bar, as you do.
When was this?
Like, last week. So I was at university, I just got here. Mm. And I was kind of at a random bar, went to get a drink.
Are you a fresher?
Yeah, no, I'm doing my second year.
Okay, and what uni?
So, Exeter.
Are you one of those second year reps that turn up on Freshers Week?
No, I'm not actually. I'm just really keen. Like,
you're not. Because no. I've encountered quite a few of those over the last couple of weeks. Mills, you have as well, right?
Yeah.
And
there's loads of them.
It's the second years that come back. There's no real reason for them to be back other than it's Freshers Week and there's new fresh people.
Yes.
Yeah, that's literally it. Just living the dream, not doing anything.
I mean, they don't have to be there. But they just get a fear of missing out otherwise.
I think FOMO, that's what it is, yeah, every time.
Okay, so you're having a drink. There you are, in the bar at Exeter Uni. What's happening?
Yeah. So I'm just talking to my friends. It's all fine. Then there's this boy next to me. He wasn't really looking at him or anything. And then I suddenly hear this boy be like, "You're going straight in my basket." And I was like, hang on a minute. What is happening here?
What, he said it to you?
To me.
Wow.
And I was like, what? So I was like, hang on a minute. Has that just been used as an actual chat-up line? So I turned around and I was like, Radio 1? And he was like, yeah. Like, and we had a really good chat about it. And yeah, so he took my number. Like, we're going to go for a drink this week.
Oh, well, that escalated.
Really fast.
All through the love of, you're going straight in my basket.
Literally, that's what connected us.
Was he looking you in the eye when he said that?
No, he wasn't. It was kind of like a holler. Like,
I see, like a wolf whistle.
A little bit, yeah.
Did he do it really camp? Like, you're going straight in my basket?
No, but I wish he had.
He didn't say something before then, did he? You know, like the actual guy does it, you know, extra large salami. Oh, that's not that I'm calling you an extra large salami. He's going straight in my basket.
No, he did not. It was just straight out. Like,
we should point out this isn't actually our phrase. It's a guy called Anto Sharp who kind of went viral with, it's just him in a supermarket spotting various things. And then he goes,
"You're going straight in my basket."
And it amused us a lot. So we started talking about it on the show.
Yeah.
But I think that we actually say it more than he does now.
I think you've kind of commandeered his phrase.
Yeah.
So the guy said it. And you weren't offended, but you sort of turned around and said, what a weird chat-up line.
Yeah, I was kind of like, what the hell? I was like, you must be a radio... Like, I'm sure you must listen to Radio 1. So kind of just, asked him. He was like, yeah. So we got chatting.
He was like, yes.
Yeah, I was like, yes.
Oh, well, at least you know you've got something to chat about on the date as well.
I know. We're going to have a great chat. But I'm trying to do a bit of homework, listen to Radio 1 quite a lot.
Yeah.
Stock up some things to talk about.
Mm. Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
Did anyone else hear earlier when Clara Ampho said, that's going straight in my basket to Carly Rae Jepsen?
Yeah. And then had to explain it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And Carly Rae Jepsen was like, oh, great.
Cool.
And, yeah.
Oh, no.
I know.
So as a chat-up line, then it works. That's what you're saying.
Yes. That is what I'm saying. I'm saying it could be a world-like phenomenon, a new chat-up line.
I also think you can maybe start to shorten it now, because I like that.
Okay.
Like, if you see someone in a bar, straight in mine.
You've got to have a lot of confidence to go up behind someone. Although saying that, going up to someone in a bar is really awkward, isn't it? So maybe it does make it easier if they're not looking at you and you do just say it. Because then
I think it was a bit of like an icebreaker, kind of. Like, straight in there, kind of like, you either get it or you don't.
It's a bit creepy, though, isn't it? Behind someone, straight in my basket.
Little bit creepy, but I think I was so shocked that I couldn't really think about the fact that it was creepy.
Yeah, exactly. But it worked because you're going on a date with him, so he's done what you set out to achieve there.
I know. Well, yeah, kind of.
You're in the basket.
You are in.
I am in the basket. I went.
You're going straight in my basket.
Yeah, straight in.
I know. Ridiculous. I
right. Okay.
Never mind.
Hazel, you've obviously got to let us know how this develops.
Oh, I definitely will. Don't worry. I'll keep you updated.
Small side note, was it a fresher that did this?
No, luckily not. I think if it had been a fresher, I'd have been like, sorry.
But... Too young for me.
Yeah, absolutely not. Not going in my basket. So, no.
The absolute sound of horror when you suggested that it might have been a fresher. Absolutely not. A fresher
in my basket. No.
Excuse me.
Get them away from me.
I know. I was a bit silly because I came back four freshers week, but I'm not going anywhere near any freshers. No,
sure. Absolutely not.
Yeah. You just wanted to come back for the fun.
Yeah, just for the party.
Can you imagine if you two get married and we get Anto Sharp himself to marry you two? It'll be, do you, Hazel, take so-and-so to be in your basket?
For the rest of your wedded life.
Great. We could do that on the show. It'd be awesome.
Oh,
yeah, you've got me thinking now. I mean, maybe we're jumping ahead of ourselves a bit too much.
I think maybe let me go on one date first.
Yeah, but if he does ask you to marry him, say yes.
Okay.
Okay.
See you, I'll do it.
All right, speak to you.
Say yes.
Say yeah.
Oh, no. I'm going to have a Radio 1 wedding. It's going to be ridiculous.
No. You're using too many phrases from Radio 1.
I need to stop. Oh, no. Never mind.
Will you marry me?
Yes!
Someone needs to do that. Someone needs to film a proposal where you answer back with that. That would be the best.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I'm going to tell him that I've used this story on Radio 1, but if I do, I'll let him know and get him to do it.
You won't need to tell him. Someone will tell him for you.
Oh, good.
Excellent. All right, I'll speak to you soon.
Okay.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Carly Rae Jepsen, hello.
Hi.
We finally meet in person.
It's been a long time coming.
We had an internet date a few months back. Never actually met in real life. I thought the real life meeting would be awkward, but actually it's going fine, isn't it?
I mean, after the fish and chips and the movies that we shared, I thought it would be a little more passionate. I'm
okay.
Not gonna lie.
It's true. This is second date. Things it should is. Progress somewhat, shouldn't they?
I don't even see flowers anywhere. Oh, yeah. I don't want to make it weird, but...
Got some sushi if you fancy that.
I love sushi, yeah.
Okay, it's there for you.
I love how you bond over fish, you two.
Yeah, we do. It's all about the fish. Every time we meet, whether it's...
It's going to be like a fish-themed wedding.
Whether it's on the internet or in person. Like... Hey, have you had any good fish lately? The Live Lounge earlier, spectacular.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to play the cover of Years and Years a minute. What made you decide to choose that?
I saw these boys play in New York at a show, and it was just the first band in a long time that's made me want to dance. And I'm not a good dancer, so that's saying something.
No, me neither.
And I don't know, I think that they're one of my favourites right now.
They are a great band.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we've had some great people in the Live Lounge, you know, like some massive stars. We had Sam Smith and Disclosure early in the week.
Amazing.
Do you still get a little bit jumpy when you're thinking about, oh, I've got to do the Live Lounge?
Well, covers I feel a little bit worried about because there's always just like, I hope I don't offend the artist whose song I'm covering. But all in all, yeah, I think that once I got into it, it was sort of just fun.
The covers bit's quite cool, though, because the protocol is you do a cover, then generally you hear from the artist and they normally say, that was brilliant.
Yeah, it's happened a lot where, you know, because people have been covering like Sam Smith songs, James Bay songs, and then they're just kind of awaiting the tweet that goes, I loved it. So you'll get that probably from Ollie later on from Years and Years.
Oh, well, see, now I'm going to be just checking my feed, be like, Ollie, did I kill your song?
Yeah, don't reach out to him first, though. That's
no,
bit,
that's not the way
to do it.
It's
a bit weird.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Too desperate.
So we're going to play Real or No Real, which is a game that we do every day. We'll just chat around some facts, and you just tell me if you think these could be real or not. Here we go, Carly Rae Jepsen on Real or No Real.
The world's most expensive fish fingers cost £100 each.
I say not true.
You think no real?
I mean, it's an expensive fish finger, isn't it?
I mean, how good can that fish be in there? Why are we talking about fish again? It always just comes back to fish with you, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Do you find then, so you call it fish sticks, right? So is the word fish fingers, is that a weird phrase to
that's
you?
It's kind of gross. Think about that.
Yeah, I know, because their fingers owe fish, and that's a bit weird.
No part of me wants to try to eat that.
No, but they're the same.
No, I will. Are they, though?
But you won't eat them on principle because it's got fingers in it.
Yeah.
It's strange, the connotations. For us, fish fingers sounds great. Yeah. Someone else, the idea of fishy fingers is not
the best.
You know?
No.
So Carly Rae says no real, Chris?
The most expensive fish fingers, yes. There's going to be... I read something the other day about the world's most expensive sandwich being something like £6 million.
Yeah.
And it's all sourced like salt from the sea. I think that's where all salt comes from, but you know
sure.
what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine a fish finger costing this amount of money. It's the kind of money you'd spend on fish fingers.
It's not, though.
I'm going to go real.
That one is real.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're served at Barry Coote's Bistro in Aberdeen in Scotland and are made with smoked halibut, king's scallops, crayfish, monkfish and just a little bit of a sprinkling of beluga caviar, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. Nice. I feel like sounds really good, the caviar though. Is what we're paying for here.
I think you might be right. We're in the middle of playing Real or No Real with Carly Rae Jepsen. Wait right there. No, you weren't planning on going anywhere, were you?
I was trying to escape.
Or don't. I'll be back in a minute.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
We're playing Real or No Real with Carly Rae Jepsen on BBC Radio 1. Hi.
Hi.
And next.
To help them bond whilst on tour, the boys from Rudimental insist on sleeping in bunk beds.
But surely in the tour bus, it's all about the bunk beds, isn't it?
I would think so, yeah.
I was like in the same bunk bed? Like they share a bunk?
I mean, that would be budget.
Okay.
Yeah. Top and tail. I used to have to do that when I was going on holiday with my little brother. Mm. We'd have to top and tail.
Yeah. Or just big spoon, little spoon, depending on how close they really are bonding here. I'm going to go with true.
You think that's true?
Is this the benefits of being a solo artist? So on the tour bus, you just get the massive... Well, there's always one massive bed.
I do have a
tour.
Band.
Oh, true. but
it's not acapella.
It's not all about me.
I don't demand my own bus. I refuse to travel with those people.
Yeah. No. Get me another bus.
No.
Oh, I'm not sure a tour bus would be for me.
No?
I love tour bus.
Do you?
We even have a tour bus song. When Doses and Mimosas plays, we each have to dance our way out of the bunk, and then it means there's a dance party going on in the tour bus living room. And
wow.
The tour bus living room?
Well, not living room, lounge area. That's probably a better word for it. Yeah.
Can you talk me through what a tour bus is like? I've never been on one.
Yeah, what are the benefits? Why do you love it?
Well, I've always been one, even as a babe, to sleep whilst in motion. Like, they'd have to drive me around the block kind of thing. So I sleep like a baby. That's perk number one. Two, you've got like a fridge that's constantly stocked with all your favorite things.
There's a fridge.
There's amazing television and music, and you're just hanging out with your friends, traveling around the world.
Brilliant.
Is there a dance floor?
I mean, we make a dance floor.
What's the song that you sing?
That Doses and Mimosas. Doses and Mimosas. That's our tour song.
You don't know where
song? No, I don't know. What is Doses and Mimosas?
I got you say. Sorry. Anyways. I probably can't either.
Anyways, and then what else?
I'm not keen on the toilet situation.
No, yeah, how does that work?
The rule is don't go on the toilet in the bus.
How do you avoid that?
Well, you say, please pull over. There's a gas station.
Sure.
Got it.
Yeah, that's how you keep the bus a happy place.
Yeah, a happy place.
A happy place, yeah.
But on tour, do Rudimental sleep in bunk beds to save a bit of money and help them bond?
Well, also, it keeps costs down, doesn't it? So I think this is real.
You're saying...
I said yes to you, too. Okay.
That one is no real.
It is no real, but
so
they
bad
are...
at this game.
They are in the live lounge with Clara tomorrow from 10 a.m. And finally...
The simpler and more repetitive a song's lyrics, the more likely it is to be a hit.
So is this like the science behind a number one? Is this what we're saying? Well, I'm not qualified for this.
I feel unqualified as well.
What are you talking about? You're Carly Rae Jepsen off of Massive Hits.
Well, thank you. I don't know what that means.
You're more than qualified.
off Massive Hits.
I don't pretend to understand how radio works. I write the songs and then you just let them go and whatever happens, happens.
But having really, 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 really in it must have helped.
Well, Tom Hanks definitely did.
Oh, bless. Yes. Oh, I love it. I love him in that video. I sometimes watch it and just go, oh.
He's quite charming. Yeah.
He is
charming. An amazing story, isn't it? How you got Tom Hanks. I vaguely remember this. How you got Tom Hanks in the video.
We spoke to you on the phone and you bribed him. Yeah. You were both trying to rescue a struggling bird in a marquee. it's a great story. Yeah. And I like it that he can't really do the lip syncing that well.
And when he does latch onto a word, though, he does it with such gusto.
He does.
It kind of like makes up for it all. It's kind of amazing.
Okay, so if the song lyrics are more repetitive, is it more likely to be a hit?
Yeah.
I'm going to go, I'm going to agree then, real. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, take it from the person that actually does songs.
The expert.
That one is real.
Yeah.
Hey.
So it's to do with something called the processing fluency, which means people remember and react to things quicker and much more positively. And that's the science bit. At the end of that round of Real or No Real with Carly Rae Jepsen.
You're like a music boffin, Mills. I got 20 and Carly, you only got 10. I'm sorry.
I feel like there were three rounds to that game. Did you really need to make a score sheet, darling?
I don't know.
Yes, sass.
That's a bit harsh.
That was a fingernail emoji, wasn't it?
I'm very competitive. I can't help it.
No, I love it.
My evil comes out.
Oh, Gemma, I'm not that great at maths, you see.
Well, even though you did lose at the game, don't feel disappointed
does
by today.
Does he get a prize?
No. Okay, nothing. Good, he does this every day. It means nothing. You've done a brilliant live
lounge. Not that you've wasted your time at all, Carly.
Don't leave Radio 1 feeling
really
dejected.
Bad about myself.
The live music element, which is why you were here, was absolutely brilliant. It's so nice to meet you in person. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you. The Scott Mills Daily. Those were Thursday's best bits. Good one today. Back tomorrow from 1 o'clock on BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.